mastered. Alleluia, Lord, we sing. Holy goodness that you bring.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. I invite you to be seated. So for the past 2 or 3 months, we've been pondering what it means to be a community that follows Jesus. What does being the body of Christ in the world look like? Well, we learned that we are equipped and called by Jesus to do what he did, to heal, to cure, to proclaim, and to cleanse. We learned that God in Jesus has given us the right questions to ask to follow him. Questions like, what does it mean to love this person here in front of me in the same way that God in Jesus loves me? We learned that we are to spread the seed of the word of God's love for the world in Jesus to everyone we meet at all times and places. To not get distracted by trying to root out what we think God doesn't want, but to stay focused on proclaiming the word, and we trust that God will take care of the rest. We learn that when we do these things, God's Spirit will do mighty works in and through us. Because the reign of heaven is like a small thing that works without being seen and then does wondrous things. It clings to and transforms everything it comes into contact with, including us. We learned that we need this community of believers that is the church, because it's here that Jesus brings us. A place of messy and idiosyncratic, ordinary and wonderful human beings who help us on the journey. And we know that sometimes there is conflict in community. Yeah? And so what does Jesus have to say about that? Do we just ignore conflict, hope it goes away? Do we cut it out? Thrust the troublemakers away? Do we just throw up our hands and just leave that community, go find another one where there is no conflict? What does Jesus say to do? This text from Matthew is kind of held up as the gold standard for how to deal with problems, conflict within the community of faith. I think it also points out how we ought to live out all of our relationships in the world. Now, while the process is clear, the inciting incident is not. The text reads, if another member of the church sins against you. Now, the interesting thing there is the against you is a textual variant. There are some ancient texts that have it. There are some ancient texts that don't have it. And if it's in there or not, it kind of changes the focus a little bit. Now, if this process is about approaching someone who is sinning or going astray, kind of like the one sheep of the 99, which we had in the text in Matthew just before this, then you could leave it out. If another member of the church sins, you follow this process. But if it's about how many times we ought to forgive a person, as Peter will ask Jesus in the pericope just following this text, if another member of the church sins against you, then you want to leave it in, right? Because it's a process about that reconciliation. Now, personally, I like the fact that it's kind of ambiguous. Which is it? Is it about just a general sin of somebody in the community, or is it about when they sin against me? I like the ambiguity because it makes it clear that as followers of Jesus, our focus is always to maintain relationship with people. To maintain relationship with them, whether they sin against us or are leading a life that is contrary to who God is calling and equipping them to be. So what then is the process to solve this conflict? I think many of us are familiar with this text, but very simply, the process is you deal with it at the source. If you have a conflict with someone, you go to them, directly to them. You don't tell your group of friends about all that they did and how bad they were to you. You don't post it on TikTok and make a big deal of it. You go to the person. You point out the fault with a convincing argument. Here, when you said this, when you did this, here is how it made me feel. When you say this and do this, here is what I see happening in you. And if they hear and they accept it, you have regained them, the text says. The relationship is restored. Thanks be to God. If they don't hear, then you take one or two other people with you the next time. This provides witnesses for what goes on. It can also provide support, right? It protects everybody because it means that, all right, this is just not me and my beef with you. This is not just me seeing it, there are others. It also provides an opportunity within that conversation so that other folks can say, no, this is what was said and done within that. If they still don't listen with one or two others, you bring it before the whole assembly. And if they still don't listen, the scripture says, let that one be to you like a Gentile or tax collector. And often people say, ah, that means you kick them out. But does it? Now, in Jewish circles, Gentiles and tax collectors would be considered to be outside the group. But how does Jesus treat them? Right? Are they outsiders to Jesus? No, Jesus eats with tax collectors. It's one of the things he gets in trouble for in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? He just healed a Gentile woman's child. I believe what this means is that while the immediate relationship we have with this person who has gone through this process and still does not hear, while that relationship is different, there's still relationship. It's a recognition that, okay, there's a need to reorient myself to them, to re-evangelize them, to go back to sowing the seed of the word in them until such time that they can hear again. The core idea is that for Christian community, we always strive to be in relationship, even in the middle of conflict. As Thomas Long in his commentary on Matthew says, relationships are precious and have enduring value in the church. When they are broken, it is worth going back over and over and over to work on reconciliation. We give up on nobody. The church, when we are at our best, we don't ghost anyone. We don't cut anyone off. We never give up on them. Now, I think all of us know any relationship has conflict, right? If you've been in any kind of long-term relationship, Any relationship has conflict. Now, sometimes it's small. How exactly do you fold towels? Uh-huh. Yep. Right? Gentlemen, it ain't the way your mama folded your towels. I'll tell you that right now. It may just be about where you're going to eat today, right? Where are we going to go eat? It's small things, but it can also be big things. Okay, what is your stance towards LGBTQIA people? Or politics, God help us. As the church, we address conflict with the understanding that it is both an individual thing and a communal thing, right? We all know how a beef between two people can affect an entire community. You've seen that, I'm sure, in your family, or at school, or at work, and vice versa. How beef within a community, things that are set up between communities, can affect individuals. Just read Romeo and Juliet. God's desire is that not even one be lost. And so, because of that, we are servants of reconciliation. Right? We are always striving to be in relationship, even with those who have sinned and even with those who have sinned against us. This is the root of what Jesus calls us to do when he says, love your neighbor in the same way that I loved you. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. The beginning of love is to be in relationship with them, to be oriented towards them. Also, part of love of your neighbor is to care enough to say something to them when they hurt you. To say something to them when they are harming themselves or others. No, I'm not going to let you hurt them and yourself by saying that, by doing that. I care too much about you. To speak the truth in love to them. The purpose of it is not punishment or revenge or ha-ha, I'm so much better and more righteous than you. It's about repentance. Change in thinking and action. It's about restoration of relationship. Right relationship. We speak these words to them also not because we are holier than thou, but with an understanding we too sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we hope and pray that others in this community will help keep us on the straight and narrow. I don't know about you, but I know I need it. One author noted that sin is not what destroys a person. Rather, it is the inability to see or acknowledge that sin. Sin is not what destroys a person, but it is the inability to see or acknowledge it. When we cannot hear what another person is saying in love to us. And so those most mired in sin attack others instead of focusing on their own failures, right? So spiritual growth requires the acknowledgement of our sin, that we do sin and will continue to sin, and our need to grow. Thomas Long says, if we cannot make that acknowledgement that we too sin, we have no option except to attempt to eradicate the evidence of our imperfection. And on the other side of that, that is why we continue to reach out in love and proclaim the good news of God and Jesus Christ to them, trusting that the Word and the Holy Spirit will act at some point to transform their lives. Friends, this body of Christ that has been St. John Lutheran Church for 167 years, we are certainly aware of our imperfection, yeah? But when we are at our best, we acknowledge where we fall short and we strive to better follow Jesus. We love and we respect one another enough to go to each other whenever there is a conflict, to speak our truth to one another in love, to hear one another out, to receive that, and then to do the hard work of making it right, restoring that relationship. And we do it not because it's easy, because it ain't, but because it is right. Because it leads to life fuller and more abundant for all of us. And because this is what God and Jesus does for us, yeah? Always, always, always comes to us. Never gives up on us. Is always reaching out that hand of invitation to us and saying, come. Follow me. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.